Good morning, Patriots. And it is Memorial Day officially, which is always odd to me that we celebrate the way we celebrate Memorial Day. It's really about a nation and what people give to a nation. And I know that there are good services to go out and recognize soldiers for the passing, but when you mix that with like barbecues and whatever else people do, it's kind of just always been weird to me. I mean, never thought about having a hot dog and a Coke at a gravesite or something. That's kind of how it seems to me. But anyway, it is a day to definitely reflect on service. And I think that's more important, is the service to nation. And in that sense of, it gets to a really interesting place of what we do to and for the nation. This is a country built on a simple foundation, in God we trust. And though those words are not in our Constitution like that, they are the foundation of the principles of moral law, which means we are all accountable in the end to our Creator. And it is a principle that everybody is accountable ultimately to the Creator, which is the fabric of how this nation was built. With that, then, anybody that serves a nation is accountable to the people, and everyone's accountable to God. So it was a very well constructed and well thought out framework. Sadly, as we move forward here, service to nation is not really a concept that we live by. The volunteer army isn't really driven as much by service to nation as it is anymore by benefits to self. I don't take away what those are doing, what those do out there for the service of the nation. I know many and have served with many. But we have to get back to a selfless drive towards service. And unfortunately, too much of what we do in this world we're in now is service has to be enticed by some sort of benefit. And it's not about that. Furthermore, it should not be, service to nation should not be exclusive to our military. Service to nation should take the many forms necessary to serve a nation. Our politicians don't serve our nation. They serve themselves. Or they serve special interests, or they serve corporate interests. But people that serve the nation is in politics is pretty much a joke. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. There are a few. But the large majority are not driven by that. They're driven by the benefits of the political position they're going into, the benefits of the special interests that they're serving, the benefits of the corporate master that they're going to be representing in the name of we the people. So to me, Memorial Day should be a reflection, a day to look deeply at ourselves as a nation and consider carefully who we are and what exactly we're serving. In a nation where we are serving God first on this day, in whatever form we take, whether you assume the position of service to nation in uniform and protection of the nation, service to nation in helping your neighbor or loving your neighbor, that can take many forms, service to nation in giving aid to those that need aid or assistance, service to nation of protecting the innocent. As much as we celebrate Memorial Day for the soldiers, we should equally be celebrating the concept of standing up and doing God's will in this world. And I think that's an important perspective right now, especially in a time when so much that we are living is framed on these principles of money, benefits, all the worships that really have nothing to do with anything in the end, other than just corrupting our values. Matthew 6, 5 to 14. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need before you ask him. For the Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed by your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we will have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. As a nation right now, we need to be doing a lot of forgiving and a lot of repenting. And we need to be putting ourselves before God very humbly for the state that we're in. Unfortunately, on this day, I have a sense that there's going to be many people that will be praying the wrong prayer. By that, I mean there'll be things like praying, "Thank you, Lord, for saving me from this virus. So grateful, Lord, I have the injection in me." And this is the sort of distortion in the world that we live in today. Truth seems to be a very difficult thing to find. And understanding your role, our role in this world, seems to be difficult for people to grasp. Our role really isn't profound in the sense of being headliner on a newspaper story or headliner on the nightly news every night, and yet it's life-changing. Our life is about service, always has been, and it's about service to God. Our life is about serving God through our love of Christ, first and foremost. And in so doing, what we are doing is expanding the kingdom. That should be our singular focus each day of how we are going to serve God. And so service as a word should be something that is part of our morning, part of our daily walk, part of our evening, and part of our prayers as we begin and as we end the day, to guide us and to ask, to have the Lord guide us and to for us to ask the Lord in his way for clarity on paths, strengthening in the actions we take as we move forward to try to heal a nation and stand boldly as Christ would stand. What it should not be is a daily walk towards how we can better ourselves in terms of things and possessions, and that's taken care of. It's like one of those sideliners. God's kind of like, "Yeah, I gotcha. Just keep moving. You'll be okay." So in this time when we are consumed with so much of a me culture and so much of a me everywhere, that message, that belief gets cast aside a lot. And it's a time when, especially in another context of today, Memorial Day, there's always another part of this deep reflection, which is as we reflect on the soldiers who have lost their lives, we do have to face a difficult truth. And that is the question of what was their sacrifice for? It's easy to say for God and country, which I would say that in a perspective, most have accepted that. And yet we also have to get to ultimately, if we're going to be honest, of who was pulling the strings to create the wars for us to hate one another. Because at the core of who we are as people, we really don't hate each other. But we sure have been well engineered to believe we should. And we sure have been well manipulated to believe that in order to hate each other, we have to kill each other. And that's one of the masterful accomplishments of a very dark evil that has tried to harm not only God's creation, but strike a blow to God himself. For we are all part of God. We are all one. So as we kill each other, we are as if we are trying to kill part of God himself. We don't get along easily. I think we get along better than most realize in our uniqueness and diversity across the world when we take politics out of it. Because politics has only one function, and that is to divide. When we draw a line where we need to draw, which is are those that walk away from God and those that stand with God, that line is that line where the watchers on the wall stand. That's the line that we stand up on and stand by principle. That's the line where perhaps at times we flip tables. But amongst us in the many, if we accept Christ in our heart, it really isn't. And I think that's the principal issue. When you're accepting Christ in your heart, we still spend so much time trying to crush each other by proclaiming that we understand the Bible better than somebody else, that our religion is better than theirs, our church is better than somebody else's. It's more nonsense than I think we could ever imagine. And it definitely wasn't by God's design. We've just screwed it up. Christ's message wasn't about what church. Christ's message wasn't about what pastor. Christ's message wasn't about whether you read a scripture and you know it better than somebody else. In fact, he didn't have a Bible to hand out to everybody when he was meeting with people and moving around. He was giving the word. And he gave the word for people to live by. And what was always amazing is that he understood very well that all that was given was all that was needed to preach the word of God. And yes, today somehow all that's needed, what is needed today is a mastery of every scripture in the book. And if you don't have that, then for so many, then you don't have the right to speak the text. God speaks through our heart, and as we give service to the Lord, he guides the messages in which we need to give. We as people have embraced these concepts of uniqueness, of being special, of being better than another by virtue of how we've studied the word. Again, what church we go to, what pastor we have. There's some very fundamental principles that we should have all witnessed in these last few months and this last year and a half, really, that should make that very clear as to where people stand. personality-wise, it's understandable that some people are more in line with one pastor's message than another. That's human nature. But there are some principles that should never have been violated. We should never have seen churches close because a state said so. We should never have seen churches opened to give injections because a state said so. We should never have seen social distancing because a state said so. We should never have seen mandatory masks because a state said so. Had people had true fearlessness in churches, they would have never accepted a mask because they would have known that God would have protected you. Had people had true fearlessness, they would have never accepted social distancing because they would have understood that God never intended us to be divided that way. And even if that meant that somehow something happened and that we died living God's way, there should be no fear in that either, only celebration. The world that we live in is so screwed up right now because people have given worship to the temple of men, to the temple of pharmaceuticals, to the temple of corrupted government. We've even heard the scriptures used to try to say that we must serve government because they're godly anointed, and I just laugh. This isn't a godly anointed leadership in our country. There isn't a soul up there right now that has an alignment with Christ in true sense. They've given their God-given soul to other relationships like money, power, and worse, an acceptance of dark rewards that can only come from Lucifer himself. In this day, the only real Memorial Day right now is really kind of a reflection on the sadness of where we sit in as a nation, of the service given for causes that sadly should never have had to be given. I don't take away anything that our soldiers and veterans have given. I've stood through 30 plus ramp ceremonies in one summer. And the ramp ceremony is when they load caskets on planes and fly them home. So the idea of giving life for duty to country is very real. But the question again is, for what? The greatest irony in watching a casket being loaded on the plane is that I have sat with some of those that have been of the mindset of the other side that wanted to kill one another, and we've still found common ground to break bread and to talk peace. These aren't naive ideas. It's the principle that we are so engineered and so focused to hate one another that hating is easy, loving is hard. And when we're dealing right now, especially in a time when a relative few, by perspective of the world population, is pulling the strings and still are pulling the strings of the many, to truly engineer an outcome so that we continue to hate, we are being, even to this day, swept away from the principal message that God put before us. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Our line sits between those that accept Christ in their heart and those that reject. And even at that, we hold that line of light, not that line of hatred. And we have to pray for the forgiveness of those that have walked away from that. But it gets to this complicated thing of we can pass that forgiveness on to the Lord in our prayers, it doesn't mean necessarily you want that person over for dinner, and that's understandable. Getting along doesn't mean that we're all good buddies and we go out and crack and have a beer or watch. I was going to say, I guess we can still watch hockey. I think that's the only one that's not taking a knee or selling its soul. Whatever that is we do together. But the idea of coexisting and respecting the fact that we are one very complex fabric in this world is something that is not native to the way we have been raised. We have been raised to believe that one is another, one or another are superior to others. That one culture is superior to the next, and that if it doesn't comply or it poses a threat, then we must kill it. There's something very settling when you're in a place where death becomes part of the victory of the day. It's a different world when you walk around knowing that in a conflict, death isn't just real, it's legal, and it's part of how you win. That's not God's way. I talk a lot about the warrior aspect of Christ, and it is powerful, and I also refer to the stories frequently, like Jericho. But I also try to remind everybody that when we're talking about those levels of conflict, there is a very real human cost, and it's one that's too often overlooked in stories like Jericho. Whatever God led them to do was a very powerful and very decisive end to Jericho. Yes, they walked the city around its walls for 7 days, and on the seventh day they walked it seven times, and when they spoke and sang out the hymns, the walls finally fell. But when they entered the city, they slayed everybody and every animal by the steel of sword. So let us keep ourselves in perspective to what war is, what conflict is, and let us always remember where our true service lies. We need to be humbled by the nation that we have and by those that have been willing to sacrifice themselves for this nation. And that's something ultimately that we come back to on this Memorial Day. And I would hope that every American, given the opportunity, framed on the principles first and foremost of In God We Trust, would be willing to put their lives down to save what this nation is about, not give in to mask rules or vaccinations because of some invisible, ridiculously manipulated threat that they become so scared that they give up every one of their rights, which were God-given. In the end, that stain sits on every American who gave up. And yes, I can forgive others their trespasses, but that doesn't change my expectation that for all that's been given, we must give back service to the Lord, and also part of that is to stand on the wall and to defend it. So on this day, it's a humbling day for me always. It's a mixed day. It's never a clear message of just mourning those that have fallen. It's the asking the question of if it was necessary. It was respecting the fact that these people chose to give themselves in the ultimate sacrifice for what they believed in, and most, if not all, believed in the principles of this nation, regardless of whether the wars were motivated by real principles or not. And it's the very real understanding that until modern times, most that gave their lives gave it through a belief first and foremost in this concept of In God We Trust. But in this day, when we face a collapse of our nation and a collapse of our Constitution, these people that are wandering about and giving it away aren't giving themselves or protecting this nation in the name of In God We Trust. They're giving it up for fear of losing what they want and what they desire most for themselves, not for what God has asked or given. So the real fight in the end of the day on a day like this rests again with the Lord. To stand boldly and to fight that war constantly to bring God into people's lives and to re-spark that light of Christ within people's souls. And to reset these principles of this nation on moral law, In God We Trust. And to keep that as our guiding banner in all that we do, so that we don't lose perspective on who is ruling and pulling the strings, so that we don't fight frivolous wars, and so that we become a nation truly led by God, understanding that there is difference in the world, but understanding that what we are given, we must defend, not give it away. He who accepts everything believes in nothing. So on this day, let us pray for the many who have fallen. Let us pray for the many that continue to give their service. And let us pray for the many who give service in the many different ways. And let us pray that we always give service first to God and through His Son Christ. For it's through Christ to the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these times that we come together, and we are grateful for the right to have that freedom to do so. Lord, on this day we pray, somewhat with heavy heart, for the many that have given and made the ultimate sacrifice. We pray for the forgiveness of those that have walked away from you and walked away from the gift of such a country as we have, a blessed land, who've given their fears into the hands of an evil that would seek to destroy all that you created, not only this nation, but us as well. Lord, we are standing now on this wall as the watchers of the wall for a new generation, and may we continue to make service to this world and to this nation in your name, to awaken the sleepers, to inspire the youth, to show the force of love and gratitude to our neighbors so that they can see the power of light as Christ would have given, to put the needs of others before us, to help those in need and not turn our back and walk blindly by, to give a voice to the innocent that suffer or have no voice, to speak boldly for the children who are being used once again as an instrument of war, as we see educators manipulating their rules to suppress children and teach them and condition them to be slaves. As we see institutions of their medical using children, your children, as guinea pigs. And as we walk blindly by the many that are homeless or suffering pains from within their home. For the children are our future, and the country that serves first their children will succeed. The country that turns a blind eye on the suffering of their children will ultimately fail. So let us reflect deeply today, Lord, on what the real war is that we fight and what the real sacrifice is that we give. May we find that courage to walk in this light and to walk into the darkness, to continue to be the speakers of truth, and to do so without fear and true trust in you. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. So take some time today to give thanks to the many that have served this nation, Take time today equally to challenge yourself with how your service will be to the nation. A people in a nation that gives to a nation will see a successful nation. But when we build that giving in the principles of God, it becomes a nation that is blessed. In that process, we also need to all reflect deeply on probably the greatest asset, the greatest resource that we have that we continue to fail protecting. And that's our children. In the end, there's only one primary war that we must fight and ensure that it is protected. And that's the future generations, the gifts that God gives us through the newborn. And sadly, that remains the number one battlefield and the number one war that we are losing. Our nation is a blessed nation. It was given to the world, it was given to us, and entrusted to us to protect and defend. Many have fallen doing that. And as I say, the motives of the war are one thing. Their service is unquestioned, for their grave sites are all over the world. And it isn't just those that have fallen, it's also those that have endured the psychological and physical maimings of war that walk amongst us. But in this day, if you've been in this fight, you're carrying a similar reality. You've woken up to the challenges of what it is to defend a nation, not because the war is on a foreign land, but because the war is here. It's amongst us, and it's using every tool it knows in the most insidious ways to destroy us as a people. On this Memorial Day, may you find that strength to stand boldly in front of this evil, to light that fire within your soul, to now fight not just for yourself, that should be nothing at all, and not just for this nation, for that is a great gift, but most importantly, to fight for God, because that is ultimately what they're trying to destroy and to extinguish from this world. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into this fight. This is an aggressive war. And it will require a perpetual vigilance in prayer and relationship with Christ in your heart. But you should have no fear. And you should be willing to make that sacrifice of whatever is necessary to preserve this gifted nation and this blessed nation, to return it to the foundations on which it was intended. The God-given rights that no one can take from us. And if we have that fire in our belly and that fire in our heart and the resolve to do whatever it takes to win this fight in the end, with God in our hearts and God leading us in all that we do, nothing stands before us. And evil will always lose. God will never forsake us. He will never leave us, but we must constantly listen to the direction in which He wants us to move. This is unlike any war you have ever seen or witnessed or read about. This is a war of God's children fighting with amazing gifts and talents that God has given to each of us on this planet. It's not a war built on the edges of steel. It's a war built on the brilliance and power of the sword of the Spirit. And when you truly embrace what that means and realize the role that each and every one of us has in fighting and winning this war, it means that you have an opportunity put before you to do one of the greatest things ever. To walk into this fight fully committed to sacrificing whatever is necessary to win in the name of God as God guides you, fearlessly. And in so doing, protecting and saving the generations to come and yet unborn. In the end, God always will win. But let us be part of that victory as it happens. Happy Memorial Day. I'll see you after a while in the next show. Until then, or until the next time. God bless. And out for now.
East of Eden, running with